Good morning. This is a precept Bible study, and we are studying in the book of Hebrews. And today we're on lesson 10. And this lesson is including chapters 3 and 4. And it will be about Jesus, faithful high priest over his house, and about the partakers of Christ. So let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your precious word that you have penned down for us, that you may speak to us, to speak to our hearts. And we ask today that you give us understanding of your word. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom, Father, that we may know you more, that we may abide in you, that we may please you in all that we do and say. And Father, we know that we can't learn without the Holy Spirit. And I ask that the Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of all believers will teach us today the lesson that you have for us to learn you and to know you more. And we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we always do, we like to refer back to a preview or an overview of what we have already studied. And we know that the author was one that had heard the word, and he had believed the word. And we learned that he was Jewish. And then we also learned that the recipients, the ones that he was writing to, are called Hebrews. They are Jewish believers who have been or were being persecuted at the time he was writing the letter. So what was the purpose then that we learned in Hebrews 13, verse 22? That verse told us that he called them to listen to this brief word of exhortation. In other words, it was a letter of encouragement. And it was about Jesus, their high priest. But it was also filled with warnings about missing true salvation. So these believers needed exhortation. They needed to be encouraged. They needed to focus on Jesus rather on their circumstances. And they needed to be encouraged to persevere in their faith. Now, looking back at chapters 1 and 2, both these chapters compare Jesus, the Son of God, with the angels, which the Jews at that time held the angels in high esteem. But God spoke first through the prophets, through angels as mediator, but now he speaks in the last days by his Son, who is God himself. So the author called the recipients to listen to the word spoken in the Son, or neglect their salvation. Now, there is just judgment for disobedience. So, what then have we learned as we've studied chapters 3 and 4? What are they about? Quickly, I will read chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers," "tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, was angry with this generation and said, 'They always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways.'" Verse 11, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there be not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me.'" Verse 16, "For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." So I'll read chapter 4 later, but what are 3 and 4 about? It's a comparison of Jesus and Moses with the recipients, those believers, with Israel of Moses' time. He is comparing the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's about entering his rest. And the author calls the recipients to hold fast until the end. So, what is the main thought in these two chapters? What are the main points? First, to consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful as Moses was faithful. We are his house if we hold fast until the end. Therefore, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as they did. Because of unbelief, disobedience, they did not enter his rest. They died. Therefore, let us fear any one of you come short of entering his rest. The good news was preached. Listen. Unite with faith and enter his rest. Therefore, we're to be diligent and strive to enter that rest. And no one can fall through disobedience as they did if you listen and hold fast. He says, therefore, since let us hold fast. High priest sympathizes with our weaknesses, with our temptations. Therefore, draw near and find grace to help in time of need. And also in these chapters 3 and 4, it's giving warnings just as chapter 1 and 2 did. It said that God spoke in His Son, and you're to listen to Him. If not, you're going to miss salvation, and you're going to face a just penalty. Also, He said, if you hear the Son's voice, don't harden your heart with unbelief, as Israel did. They died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, and they faced God's wrath, His anger. Now, let's look at God's house. That's what we see in chapter 4. It's about God's house. In chapter 3, excuse me, not 4. And there are passages that tells us about God's house. Now, Hebrews 3 says that Moses was a faithful servant in God's house. And it also says that Jesus is the faithful son over God's house. Now, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, now Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. So here it tells us then that Moses and his house was a testimony of things spoken later. The things spoken in the Son in these last days, things about the Son over his house. And all through Hebrews, there's a contrast or a comparison between the Old and the New Testament. So, verse 14, we see Christ's house is paralleled with being partakers or sheriffs. Let me read verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. His house, God's house, is made up of believers who hold fast until the end. Now, I want us to look at Ephesians 2:11 through 22, and I want to read Ephesians 2. Let me find that quickly. And I'll read this. Ephesians 2:11 through, what did I say? Ephesians 2:11 through 22. Let me read these verses quickly. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So, Paul read this letter to explain the mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile in one body. He explained that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of his house, of God's house. And the apostles and the New Testament prophets are the foundation. They preached and explained the good news of the gospel, and they wrote the part of the Word of God which he spoke in his Son. So God's household here is described as Jew and Gentile believers who are one body in him. So God, Christ's body, is growing into a holy temple of God in the Spirit. Now, there is other scriptures that talk about this body, this house of God. And I'm not going to take time to read all the scripture, but I'll give you scripture and you can write it down and go back and read and refer as a cross-reference in the study about the house. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Here, Peter wrote to believers in Jesus who had been scattered in areas in modern Turkey. And he said, Paul said, that Jesus is the living stone and believers are living stones being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Now, the household of God in 4:17 is contrasted with those who don't obey the gospel. Now, let's look at Romans 16:5, and I'll try to go to that quickly. Romans 16:5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of a child to Christ. And this is a scripture that is telling us that the church was formed in people's homes. And these scriptures tells us different ones that the homes that it was started in. So, now then, looking at a summary or the bottom line, what do you think that the house of God in Hebrews 3 is? We know as we study that it's a church. The body of Christ is the church, the believers that make up the church. Now then, let's look at the partakers or the sharers of Christ. According to Hebrews 3:6, and I will read this scripture, 3:6 and 14. 3:6 of Hebrews says, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And then verse 14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. So, according to these verses, it seems that the Son's house, which is Jesus, is the same as those who are partakers or sharers, believers. It's the church, the body of Christ. Now, in looking at other scripture, John 6, 48 through 51, I won't read all of these scriptures, but you may want to write down because you can go back and do some cross-reference. John 6, 48 through 51. And in these verses, Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread shall live forever. And those who believe in him partake of him as the bread of eternal life. Now, in John 14, 16, and 16 through 20, if you want to write this down, and then 23 through 24, and then also Romans 8, 9 through 11. In John 14, 16 through 20, 23 through 24, John and Paul wrote, John wrote the book of John and Paul wrote Rome, and both of them wrote that all believers have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling or living within them. And the Spirit of Christ lives in all true Christians. Now, you can relate that to God's house being the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, we as believers have the Holy Spirit living within us. That takes place immediately when we become believers. And Jesus also said that if anyone truly loves him, that he will keep his word. So what did he say in Hebrews 3 verse? What did he say then in Hebrews 3? That if you are a true believer, if you are one that has received the Holy Spirit, that Jesus loves you if you keep his word. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 27, and I won't read these either, write down so you can cross-reference Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. In these verses, we learn that Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are a partaker or a sharer with him. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 32. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. We learn in these verses the church is Christ's body. Individuals are members of his body. We're partakers, we're sharers of him by his Spirit. He, Jesus, loved and gave himself for the church, and he sanctifies the church and cleanses her by washing her with the water of the Word. So, let's look now at what we have learned so far and ask these questions. How would you define the house of God? And we learned in what we've studied, the house of God is the church. It is all believers. Now, what does it mean to be a partaker or a share of Christ? It's being of the same house. The scripture said that we, in verse 6, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. So we are sharers, partakers, because we are the same house of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, looking now at Hebrews that we have just studied in chapter 3 of Hebrews, we learned about this very thing, that it is the house of God, that it is the church that makes up the house, and that we are partakers or sharers. And Hebrews 3, 6 and 14 says that true believers are the ones who hold fast till the end. They are the ones that persevere, and they don't harden their hearts, and they pay attention, and they don't neglect salvation to drift away, and they are obedient. And they, as partakers and sharers, will enter the rest, his rest, through faith, through belief. Now then, let's look at what we find in these chapters. We want to go to chapter 4 now, and I'll read chapter 4. We're going to look at Jesus' priesthood. So let me quickly read chapter 4. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remained for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as it has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, we learn here in these verses that Jesus is merciful and faithful to come to the aid of those tempted because he was tempted. I'll go back and read verses 14 and 15. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He lived in a flesh and blood body, and he understands the temptations of the flesh. He's the great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. So the scripture tells us, therefore, believers should hold fast and draw near for help in time of need, the time of temptation. So instead of drifting away or neglecting or hardening or disobeying, we should hold fast and draw near. And when we hold fast and draw near, this proves our faith is true. Now, in 1 John 2:19, tells us that those who remain are true believers. And in John 8:31, and I'm going to read this verse, John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are disciples indeed. So, it's abiding in him that shows that we are his disciples. Now, let's look at chapter 4, verse 3. And I want to read this, and we want to see what it says. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So Hebrews 4:3 makes it clear that those who believe enter that rest, and those that don't believe don't enter it. So, therefore, it's a rest that is connected with salvation. And verse 8 tells us that Joshua didn't give Israel that rest. He is the one that brought them into the promised rest, but he is not the one that gave them that rest. Now, from the Old Testament references, how then were they to enter that rest, and what was it? Okay, I want us to think back what we have just studied in chapters 3 and 4, especially in 4 when it talked about entering the rest. They were to believe what God said. That is the first thing. They had to believe what he said, that he would take them to the land of Canaan, and he would defeat their enemies living in the land, even the giants. But they didn't believe him, and therefore they didn't enter into his rest. Even though they had seen the signs and wonders that God brought in Egypt and the wilderness, they still didn't believe when they were tested. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13, and I won't read through this, but I'll tell you what Paul wrote to these Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. He says to take heed, as the warning in Hebrews says, God was not pleased with them, and they died in the wilderness. Endurance in temptation is for every believer. Don't try the Lord. Don't test the Lord. And in these verses, it says, pay close attention and hold fast. And that's what we have just been studying here in chapter 4, that you must hold fast. You must pay attention what God is saying. Now, we are going to study in the last lesson, which is lesson 11. Next week, we're going to study some more about the rest that are in chapters 3 and 4. So let us close today in prayer and be very prayerful in what we have studied, and go back and do your study again, reading these verses and applying them to your life, and check out all that it says. These are God's words written by a man that was chosen to pin them down, the author of the book of Hebrews, that we today have his word, and they are pinned down not just for those Hebrews at that time that he wrote it, but God had it pinned down for us today, that we might know him more, that we might be obedient, that we, as believers, when we have read and studied the Word, and we have accepted him as our Lord and Master, that Jesus is the one and the only one that died for our sins and was raised the third day and is seated at the Father's right hand. He is our great high priest. And only through him, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Let us pray. Father, we do praise you and give thanks for your precious word. And we know that if it wasn't for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our kinsman redeemer, our great high priest, that there would be no hope. There would be nothing that we could hold on to. But it's only through the blood of Jesus that we have our hope, our salvation. And I pray, Father, that your word will penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we may draw near, that we may draw close to you and to please you and be obedient to your word, that we may enter in to the rest that you have prepared for us. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.